Thank you for taking some time out of your busy day to be with me and all of the other listeners, for God is. Oh, we need to remember every single day that He is. God sovereignly reigns and rules over us, and we owe every breath we take to His grace. Do you come to this time today as someone who does not really know God? I want to encourage you to pursue Jesus Christ. And for those of us who know God, because we come to our time today having invested our full faith in Him, I invite you to once again cast your eyes and ears firmly on the Lord. And in these days together, we've uncovered an episode in the life of Christ when He is a 12-year-old boy, and He is in the temple located in the city of Jerusalem. As I have been saying, in this one event, Jesus has much to teach all of us, but this week we've been talking about godly parenting. Our question is, what does Jesus teach us about God? And He demonstrates for us that God is passionate about parenting His way. And of course, His way is often not our way, and certainly not the world's way. Dads and moms all over the world have tremendous difficulty raising their children because they have not learned from the Lord how to do it. But here before us are five lessons on parenting from Christ. Even though Jesus here is only 12, by His presence and His wisdom, He teaches His earthly parents about who God, His heavenly Father, is. Today we will dig in at lesson number 3, and I'll remind you what it is and show you this in the biblical text. You'll want to have your copy of the Bible open to Luke chapter 2, if possible, Matthew, Mark, then Luke, and put your finger in the page where chapter 2 is situated. And here is the instruction. The presence of Jesus in the temple draws Joseph and Mary to understand that they were never to keep their children from the house of God. To get at this, I'll read Luke 2, verses 46 through 50. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 50. Then, after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. When they saw Him, they were astonished, and His mother said to Him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And Jesus said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which Jesus had made to them. Where is Jesus? He is in the temple. Verse 46 tells us that when Joseph and Mary found Jesus, He was there. But notice in verse 49 that when Jesus replies to Mary's frantic question, Jesus calls the temple by another name. He says, "My Father's house." And Father is capitalized. Father means God. My Father's house. My God's house. The temple, the place set aside and made holy by the living God, is where the boy is. And when his earthly mother and father, Joseph, arrive, Jesus looks up at them and respectfully, yet sternly, makes clear to them that He is exactly where He should be. In a sense, where else would He be? And by implication, where else should we all be? Now, of course, neither Jesus nor I am saying that to study God's word. Remember from the reading, He is listening and asking questions of the teachers. Or to worship holy God can only be done in the house of the Lord. For us as Christians today, that is the church. And by church here, I mean the place, the location. You attend most likely on Sundays and on other days of the week, Wednesdays, Saturdays. God is omnipresent. That is, His presence is always with us. We can, and we do, study the scriptures 7 days a week, both in and out of church. And we worship Him all the time, in every place, at least. That is His desire for us and His command for His people. However, there is still an emphasis here on the temple as the place to be. And I think this does apply to you as a parent. Do not keep your children from the house of God. Make the church a community place where you and your kids belong. Let it be a second home to them. Like the psalmist, let it be that your family cannot wait to get down to the house of the Lord to worship Him in all the myriad of ways that we do that. I remember as clear as if I just did this that many years ago when I was a boy, maybe around the age of 10, I remember the episode, friends. I did not say my memory was good enough to remember the age. Anyway, as a young kid, I was so enthralled with church that I took home with me a little white card we had in the pew of the church called a registration slip. It was designed for members and visitors to register our attendance with the pastors. And I took it home and wrote a note to my mother saying that I really loved the church and that I want to be there every Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I added that I wanted to go Wednesday nights for the prayer meeting as well. I slipped the note under the door one night, and by this I was expressing a desire to be in the house of the Lord, to be in God's house. And thankfully, my mom took me up on my offer, and we went regularly. To this day, I'm grateful for that. It was in those many hours spent in the church that I developed a passion for pastoring, for God and His people, and certainly for preaching and teaching the Bible. And I was just a kid. Dad and Mom, within the sound of my voice, do not keep your children from the house of God. Whenever they want to go to church, go. Or bring the church to you. That is, invite other believers to come worship God together in your home, to think and talk about Jesus. Do not be late to church. Do not rush home afterwards. Spend time there. Hang out. Be the first to arrive and the last to leave. Cancel other plans. Decline invitations to be elsewhere. Invite non-believing friends to come with you. Prioritize being a part of Christ's community rather than that sporting event. Friends in Boston, our teams are going to win anyway. Oh, friends outside New England, did I just say that out loud? My apologies. Not really. You know, many times children, especially young ones, have an intuitive, God-given sense that they belong in God's house. Encourage this within them. Nurture it. I think this is the point Jesus made. The presence of Jesus in the temple draws Joseph and Mary to understand that they were never to keep their children from the house of God. And I say children because Joseph and Mary went on to have several more children in addition to Jesus. The New Testament teaches that with clarity. And we come now to our fourth lesson. Fourth, the presence of Jesus in the temple demonstrates to Joseph and Mary that all people's true parent is God. This is a very important truth for those of us who are listening to understand. But I'll speak of this today in the context of parenting. Where do we find this in the Bible? Well, many places. But Jesus says here, I had to be in my Father's house. Note, my Father. Who is Jesus' Father? He is God. God the Father. Here, Jesus the Son speaks of his heavenly Father. And is not Jesus' Father God? Also our Father? Who is God? God is our Father. And as our Father, he parents us very, very well. And what I believe he does is that he gives us children so that we can steward them for a season of their lives. But eventually all kids grow up and it's natural and thoroughly normal for them to leave their parents and to cleave to a spouse and or to cleave to lives independent of dad and mom. I know this is something many of you parents dread, but you dread it because it's coming and coming fast. Isn't it? Your kids grow up so quickly. Your sons and daughters are going to go, and you have to let them go. But Jesus teaches that you should know and remember you're letting them go with God. All our children were always God's from before they were even born. He created them. He knit them together in your womb, Mom. They belong to Him now. Your primary job was to point them to Him, and at the time and season when they head off on their own, having taken their last meal, and sleep in your home, be confident that God sees them and knows them and loves them far more accurately, deeply, and widely than you ever could. Who parents us all along? Really, truly, God does. Our Father who is in heaven. Abba, Father. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God? Are you willing to give him your own children? Do you think he will take good care of them? I know many Christian parents, and of course parents outside of Christ, that worry a lot about their precious ones. Even parents that do not let on publicly they're anxious are in their hearts very concerned. And that's also natural. We live in a scary world, There are plenty of dangers that can come at our families, but rest assured, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. God's watching, and He's perfectly capable of being their dad. Jesus says, "My Father." And so our fourth lesson is, the presence of Jesus in the temple demonstrates to Joseph and Mary that all people's true parent is God. I'd like to say more about this, but I'll save that for another time because I'm running out of time this week. I also thought we would get to our fifth lesson today, but there's not really enough minutes left to do so, so we'll pick up here again on Monday. Please be here at the start of the week, Lord willing. But this weekend, take some time to write to me. I have a gift I want to send you, and I need to know where to send it. My addresses will be given in a moment. Jot those down. And when you write, tell me your name, how you listen, specify the radio station or the podcast, maybe it's both, and tell me what this ministry means to you, as well as adding any comments or questions you have. I need to hear from you. I want to hear from you, so I'll be greatly encouraged if you will do this, mark@markaswallow.com, or God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Remember, May is the month for mail. Next week, we're going to continue in this passage, Luke chapter 2. There's such a richness to it. So we'll keep systematically making our way down through our outline, piece by piece. But do not simply count on my insights. Read the Bible for yourself and prayerfully, and then quietly listen for the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit as you take it all in. Just read and reread the text, perhaps make some notes in the margin of your Bible. You might even discuss this passage with other maturing Christians. Be in God's house to worship Him this weekend if you are physically able to do so. And then let's get together again on Monday. Invite someone to join us and be right back here, for God is.